It just sounds weird doing it like that. Welcome back, everyone. I'm not doing the entire intro in his voice. Welcome back, everyone, to... I don't know if he's... He says some words with an R and some not. So, like, he's it'd just... be like rad real good. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't say rad every word. Good. I feel like that's probably good enough. Anyway, we are, of course, the podcast that looks at poorly rated movies, and we ask the question,
is this rap real good?
My name is Regan.
And like, I'm Aiden.
Brilliant. So he's totally Aiden.
He's like, totally Aiden.
today we will be looking at Scooby-Doo. Is it just? It's just called Scooby-Doo, right?
It's Scooby-Doo. Like... It's called Scooby-Doo 2002.
Oh, okay. Not like Scooby-Doo the live-action movie.
Scooby-Doo.
Or something stupid.
The yeah. Scooby-Doo.
Because they normally all the Scooby-Doos have like Scooby-Doo and the there was one that I saw which was like the chase of the ghoul chase or something. I don't remember chase of the something. But they always call it like you know it's like. The mystery of the Pharaoh's tomb or something. That kind of shit. But it's just like, it's just Scooby-Doo. Not even Scooby-Doo the movie.
Scooby-Doo 2002.
But before we get into all this Ruby Ruig, Aiden, why don't you tell us what it... this is not going to get old. Why don't you tell us what is wrecking this week?
Like... Scoops, this isn't a car.
For those
this
who, if anybody
from
who's not
comicbookmovie.com.
For anyone who's not familiar with this, I said wrecking, but of course I mean what is Shrekking this week.
Yeah.
Otherwise, there would be zero context, and it would be so weird. They'd be like, "What did he say? What's going on now?" And you just start talking about an article.
I think people just don't have any context for any of this. But anyway, this is
that's
two.
Good.
I've got two articles, both from comicbookmovie.com, and that's because I, for a long while, I was looking at these. I was reading one, and then it was like, it says recently fans are nerfed something about Shrek. And I was like, oh, really? Is there more to this? So I clicked on that, and it was like, it's almost the same article, just with different context. And it's so weird. It took me ages to, with my fucking dyslexic brain, to work out what was different about it. But so the first one is, the creator of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure is a Shrek superfan.
Brilliant.
So
I love the bit in Shrek where Shrek comes out of his toilet and says, Jotaro!
Sees Lord Farquaad.
Yeah. Deal! You know the memes
where... Goodbye, Shreko!
Donkey! No, have you seen the memes where they put... they'll get really long objects like a keyboard and they'll put JoJo's like face, like some iteration of JoJo, their face on the end of it. And so it's like, because their hair is always ridiculously like,
oh,
long
yeah.
and silly.
Yeah, yeah.
And they have the phrase they say, I don't remember what it is, but then they do like the afterwards.
Oh my God. Yeah, what were we talking about? Oh, yeah, yeah. JoJo's
talking about
JoJo. JoJo.
Shrek.
Shrek. Oh, my God. Shrek. All right. JoJo's Bizarre Adventure creator, let me get this right. Hirohiko Araki.
Oh, that was so painfully
that
British.
That was good.
Hirohiko Araki.
Hirohiko Akari.
That's his name.
A bloke from JoJo's. has been crafting the story of the Joestars for decades with the mangaka. I think that's
it's like a way of saying it, I think.
Going on record in the past. What? With the mangaka going on record in the past that he would love nothing more than crafting new manga chapters featuring the anime characters, he has released some startling tidbits in the... I don't know what the fuck that sentence says.
I think it's saying... Yeah, it's just... He's I don't know. He's doing stuff.
Not only has Araki... fuck me, I've just clicked on a different link. I'm going to cut that
out. Oh, fucking hell. I love how this is so... It's like your people would be listening to this, they'd be like, it's so fucking old.
Yeah.
Like, oh dear, I've clicked on another link. Free malware? What does this mean?
The VR designed for all day walking. That's nice. Advert. Wish. Top nutrition.
Ooh.
Doctors hate him. Why do they hate him? not only has he confirmed that he's a major fan of Shrek, but he revealed that the relationship between Donkey and Dragon had a major impact on how he received the DreamWorks film. Shrek has gained, this is why the second article is relevant.
Shrek watched Shrek and he was like, I tell you what, if Donkey didn't fuck that dragon by the end, I wasn't gonna be on board. I wasn't gonna be first.
There's a quote. Don't worry about that.
Okay.
Shrek has gained a wild folly. Blah blah blah. Shrek is a film. Puss in Boots is a big film. Anyway, back to JoJo's. JoJo's fans recently unearthed past quotes from 2013 in which Hirohiko Araki. I think that was good enough.
Urukai?
Urukai?
Shrek's back on the map. Wait, what? That's not Pacific Rim. It's Lord of the Rings.
No, you know, Lord of the Rings, where he's like, why can't we have some fucking meat? And then a fucking blue gypsy comes through. Yeah, smashes through the wall.
Oh my god, dude, I love that. Imagine Lord of the Rings, and it's the fucking, it's the siege on, like, fucking... Saruman's tower, and he's up in his tower, and he's like, oh no! And you just hear, ba-da-dum, da-da-dum. They let the river in, and he's like wading through the fucking water, like, and fucking shoots him dead. Cleaves him in half with his big sword.
You shall not pass. In which he's the Orokai. Struggled with the relationship between Shrek's donkey and dragon.
Right.
This is a quote from him. I was personally surprised by donkey and dragon suddenly becoming a couple. They even had kids together in Shrek 3. Is that really okay? How did they even mate in the first place?
Yes, he's getting on the deep lore. This is what we want.
The Orokai then came to grips with the bizarre relationship in a puzzling turn. It may seem like it's a depiction of a forbidden relationship, but interspecies mating among the animals is something that happens in the world. It's not something that can be complained about. In fact, the amazing thing about Shrek is that it breaks conventional norms. It makes you think maybe this is really the right way to go about things.
What? Is he trying to make a case for having sex with animals? I don't know.
It's fucking, he's come up with some wild stuff.
He's like, you know what? If you asked me a year ago, wouldn't have been on it. But since then, yeah, I've had some life-changing experiences.
And then it says, the second article, which is...
Is it translated from... like Japanese?
It must be.
I wonder if at all there is any like translation error. Imagine if he was just like, oh no, I thought it was super weird. And then I was like, well, it's just a bit of fun. And then they've translated it over and they're like, oh, what he said was, I like to fuck animals.
And like, I'm doubling down.
Yeah, exactly. I'm doubling down on it. He's like, I gave you one line. I gave you one quote. How have you turned it into a...
You maybe meant something else. No, yeah. I meant what I meant.
How have you turned it into one of those fucking... What are they called? Like the... it's like a declaration. Manifesto, that's it.
But yeah, so then it's like... It's the same article, and it confused me, because at the top of these articles, they always put a video in. And it's the JoJo Lands explained in under 3 minutes. But it's the same video on both articles. This one is JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. Creator loves everything about Shrek except one thing. Right. So I was like, what? Is that not just the same?
Yeah. But it's trying like, the angles to get
and,
the clicks.
And it literally... So they literally do two paragraphs, and then... Some subheading which says Shrek's Bizarre Adventure. And it's the same on both articles. But the text is slightly different. We've got more quotes from him. It says, all of the Shrek movies are entertaining, from the first film to the final installment. However, I would recommend Shrek 2 as my personal favourite. The love between Shrek and Fiona portrayed well up until Shrek 2. Well, sorry, was portrayed well up into Shrek 2. However, once they introduced their children in Shrek the Third, I got the impression they only made the movie because the other two did well. It felt like they were milking it. Yep.
Yep.
What a genius this guy is.
What a fucking genius. You know what? If he's right about this, maybe he's right about other things too.
He then continued with even more shocking thoughts about Shrek the Shrek franchise, while even hilariously comparing the DreamWorks property to Stone Ocean. I think that's an anime. Since Shrek's charm, comes from him being imperfect and rough around the edges, it kind of feels dissatisfying seeing him become a composed fatherly figure. Even in manga, when the protagonist becomes a father, I can't help but question how it's going to work out. By the way, please exclude how Jotaro became Jolene's father from that example, as this is a completely different subject. What's he fucking talking about? Yes! That's his quote! It's just... And then it just talks about more shit. But, yeah, so... JoJo's Bizarre Adventure creator... Should I try one more time? Hirohiko Arakai. The Arakai. They fucking love Shrek. Anyway, goodbye.
Shrek's back on the menu, boys.
Why can't we have some meat?
What about them? They're fucking all sexy and green.
You can't touch them. Fucking walks in.
Oh my god!
Imagine the fucking. It's just Merry and Pippin in a fucking,
Instead of Treebeard, it's fucking mech. It's Blue Gypsy. Is that the name of the mech?
It's something Gypsy.
Yeah, Gypsy Danger,
something like that.
I'll look while we get onto the film that we're doing, the
actual film that we're talking about, we spent 15 minutes on this. Yeah, I just love the idea of like the great battle, Sauron with his ring. Sweeping through people, and they're like, send in the Jaeger, and then it's like, just fucking battles him. Oh, what an edit! God. All right,
yeah.
Are you? Did you set the thing up?
Yeah.
What's it called? I feel like you didn't search it up.
Gypsy Danger. There we go.
It was Gypsy Danger. Yeah. All right, nice. Yeah. Anyway, so this week...
What a fucking nightmare this has been. Should we just cancel this? Just stop recording?
Just stop recording now.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to delay for just a couple more seconds because I realized that in my haste to watch this week's film that I made the terrible mistake of not getting the description before I jumped right in.
While I'm
talking, I've certainly been pulling it up. This film that we watched this week is Scooby-Doo, that we watched on Amazon Prime, because, you know, fuck Netflix. Which, by the way, Netflix has suddenly allowed us to use it on the TV again, even though it's...
Yeah, like, mine's been
Racist
doing...
Grandma's one.
Yeah, yeah.
So unless they've decided to just, like, let people do it again... I don't know.
I'm still going to cancel it.
But who cares? Yeah, fuck it. But yes, so we watched Scooby-Doo, which Prime Video describes as the classic cartoon is recreated in a CGI version of the well-loved canine character. After parting ways to protest against Fred's self-centered treatment of the Mystery Inc. gang, they're brought back together by Emil Mondavarius to help solve a ghoulish mystery at Spooky Island, his resort and fun park.
Yeah,
I mean,
baby.
Yeah. It seems weird where they said it's recreated in a CGI version of the well-loved canine character.
No, it's live action.
It's live action, but the way they've worded it is kind of weird. Like, it doesn't make sense. It says the cartoon is recreated in a CGI version of the well-loved canine character. So it's saying that the classic cartoon is recreated in just the CG Scooby. You know what I mean? You're like, the whole film is the thing. Like, it's just weird. I don't know. It's weirdly worded. Whoever, that was clearly like a 10-pin on that day.
Yeah, yeah. It's the guy. It's the guy that fucking, he's like, I don't fucking do this. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. The guy's on holiday again. I'm fucking sick of it, man.
Yeah. anyway.
But yeah, so it was made in 2002. Directed by Raja Gosnell. Now, I was under the impression that James Gunn had directed both of these films.
What?
But
really?
Yeah. But he wrote them. James Gunn wrote both of the Scooby-Doo films.
I had no idea. That makes so much sense.
Yeah, man.
I never even thought.
Yeah.
I mean, I never really looked into, like, who did... Who made them? I just figured it came out. People did it.
Yeah, it was James Gunn. That's wild. Which is interesting because I was going to look more into this, but I couldn't be asked. I'm pretty sure that it was meant to be like, not R-rated, but like PG-13 or something. It was meant to be a lot ruder.
A little bit ruder.
A little bit ruder, a little bit sexy.
Well, it's plenty sexy already.
You've killed me. The
sexiness was too much.
Oh my god, it's too much! Help me! It was I'm sure it was because they like CGI'd cleavage out and stuff. And it was meant to be like a parody. Yes, I wish I looked more into this. I'm pretty sure they did like some wacky shit. And
you might want to have a little look while we're chatting about stuff, maybe.
Yeah, I will do. It was meant to be like a more of a parody on the the old original cartoon.
Right.
Because this feels like more, like, it feels a bit self-aware.
Oh, 100%. I was about to say that. 100%, it feels very self-aware.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll get more into it. But it's got, sure. It stars Freddie Prinze Jr., Sarah Michelle Gellar, Matthew Lillard, Linda Cardellini, and Steve Buscemi. And Rowan Atkinson.
Plays Scooby?
I didn't write it down.
Oh, you didn't know. Scooby-Doo! You didn't know it down. Yeah, I threw you on the spot. I assumed you were like reading it from the fucking webpage.
Nope.
I just felt like we had all the rest of the gang there, so we might as well know who Scooby is, even though it's just a voice and we probably don't know who the guy is.
It was. Are you ready? Are you sat down for this? Oh my god.
I sat down.
Oh my god.
What?
Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
Was voiced by.
Yeah.
Snoop Dogg.
Nah.
It was
you're
planning.
Pulling my leg. You imagine a Snoop Dogg Scooby-Doo. And it'd be like, come here, Dutch. As we all know, Snoop Dogg's classic.
Yeah, you know.
Classic
Snoop
voice.
Snoop Dogg's like, Dutch, we gotta find some way to get some money. Dutch, I have a plan. It had a budget of $82 million, and it made $275 million. No fucking wonder.
Damn.
Yeah. It got that's a sequel.
What, 2002? Yeah, that's fat money.
Yeah, that's fat money, dude. It's got 5.2 out of 10 on IMDb, 32% on Rotten Tomatoes, and 35 Metal Crickets.
That's so criminal. I mean, obviously, I expected that because we're doing it on this show, but.
Yeah.
That is actually criminal. Like, when I said to Rose that we were doing this film, so I have to remind her sometimes. I said to her we were doing this one, and she was like, what the fuck? Like, that's a good movie. And I was like, yeah. I know. It was poorly rated. That's the definition. That's the thing. You know, critics were like, stinky, Mino-like. Gross.
No, that's silly. No, a dog
that's
can't talk.
That's too silly for me.
No.
Look at him, he's dressed as an old lady. Nobody would fall for that. Should we get straight into
it? Yeah, let's fucking go. Let's go.
First things first, gotta say, off the top, this is one of the few times where I've seen a film that's like an adaptation of a thing that just I think this nails the feel and the jokes and everything of the cartoons like so well, like so much better than so many other kind of things where I've seen the adaptation and like, you're like, oh, that was a good adaptation. That was a nice, like they did a nice thing with it or whatever. But this like, it just feels like the only way you could make a live action like the cartoons. You know what I mean?
I unless you're going fully down the, like, piss-taking out of it sort of thing.
Yeah.
But, like, this is definitely the best version of it. 100%. It's so good. It's so perfect. It's like self-aware enough, but not to the point where you're like, oh, it's just ripping on itself. It's like sexy enough to get all the
to get Aiden going. That's the main thing for Aiden.
But it's like it's sexy in a weird James Gunn way. You know what I mean? Like it's like it's such a 2000s. This film is the epitome of 2000s.
It is. It's like the way that, I just feel like it's also something that could only have been made well at that time. Because if you made it now, if you tried to make a Scooby-Doo movie now, and I think they have tried to make them since, but if you try and make one now, it just would be so, I just feel like I don't know, films now and how everything's changed and evolved over time, and like obviously you get that specific kind of 2000s look with I don't know what they would have shot on, whether it was film or whether it was
early digital
stuff, but like
I don't know, but
there's just a specific kind of, it's not grit, but it's like texture to it, and just all of the like silly jokes, and they put all of these little sound effects in, like when Daphne does the, you know, my lips are sealed kind of thing, where she like pulls her fingers across her lips and pretends to throw away the key, and you get like a
yeah
like, noises and stuff, and
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
You know, they're all, and what's good in this is there was no point where I felt really kind of like, oh, that's outdated, like, not
yeah, not
good.
Really, no.
Not really, because I think even though, you know, we'll get into it later, but again, you know, it's on a big island where it's a big theme park with kind of tribal undertones to it and a kind of cultish thing, and there's a bit where they're all kind of doing a chant and whatever, but it's not like in, what was it we did recently, where they, recently-ish, where they have the chants, but they just seemed really, oh, fuck, what was it? It's like on the edge of my brain. there was something more recently, we did a film somewhere within the past, like,
oh, I know, few episodes. It was Garfield, A Tale of Two Kitties.
Yes.
No, it wasn't. It was
no. Okay, I was like, was Garfield being really insensitive? But there was a bit where they were like, obviously impersonating or like trying to do the tribal kind of stuff, but it comes across as really, you're like, oh, that's in poor taste.
Yeah.
I can't think of what it was. I know that me and my brother played a game from back in the TAC games from way back, where it was all kind of like the village and the Pupununu people. That might be what I'm thinking of. And it kind of, some of it, no, that is what I'm thinking of, because you have like a mini game where they go to like a chanting table, and it's set out like the directional pad, the directional buttons on their PlayStation 2, like, controller, so you press which one lights up and then you press the button prompts, but they're just kind of going like ooga booga booga ooga booga booga booga, and then they're doing like silly kind of dance moves as if it's part of the thing, and it all seems a bit like, you're like, oh, that's a little
bit off.
So that kind of thing, you don't get that here, I think, because of the way everything's framed, and like, even though you have like a ritual kind of scene and they're all doing like a chanting, and our usual Scooby gang are really not knowing what they're doing and stuff. At any moment, that would be a moment where you're like, oh, it feels like in a different film that they're, the butt of the joke is that they're taking the mick out of the, you know, oh, the silly chanting and tribal stuff, when you're like, well, this is actually a culture of an indigenous people that you're shitting on. But in this, it isn't like that. And you don't have any of this sort of stuff. It and this kind of 2000s humor where they're like, you know, I can't think of a fucking thing, so, you know, general misogyny and whatever and blah blah blah.
You know, what's that film that we did that was with Chevy Chase in it?
Which one? Sky High or the recent one? The one we literally did
Zoom?
Last week.
Zoom.
Oh, sorry, Zoom. Sky High. Why did I say Sky? Sky High was basically like, it came out around the same time. Zoom. Yeah, exactly that. It's like, it's not like that, which is that 2000s, and they're like, oh, he got zapped by electricity, so he starts speaking like insultingly fake Chinese.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
It's not like that kind of thing. It's like good-natured, cartoon, ridiculous, like slapstick, funny puns, kind of humor, and like just silly stuff. You've got Matthew Lillard,
yeah,
just being absolutely the best, like definitely steals this film.
Yeah, he's fucking great. Oh. And the fact that this was filmed in 2002, that like, he's just have you seen the behind the scenes to this? He's just talking to a stick. There's no one there. Like, he's just acting by himself. It's incredible.
Yeah,
he deserves a fucking Oscar for that film.
Honestly, I wish that, like, it's a shame, isn't it, that, like, it's not always the case, but very much, you know, with the Oscars, you'd never consider that. It's why they say, you know, things like Oscar bait or whatever. You wouldn't look at that film and be like, oh, they're going to get an Oscar for his, like, performance, because his performance is amazing, but they'd be like, oh, it's silly, it's not a proper, you know.
Yeah, there should be an award for, like, the dedication or, like, hard work or something.
Just something to do with the character itself not having to be, like, all boring and on deep emotional character level. You know what I mean? Like, we got enough of those ones. We want one that's, like, fully believable. Like, you did such a good job. He literally captured the essence of Shaggy, like, perfectly. Like a stoner edition of Shaggy as well, like, more so than normal.
They throw in some, like, adult jokes, mainly around Shaggy. They, like, Shaggy's love interest is literally called Mary Jane.
Yeah.
Like, they couldn't...
I love that. And she says her name, and he's like, that's my favorite name. It is brilliant. And that kind of lends in, I think his performance lends into a point that I made quite early on, that Scooby, even though it's like early 2000 CG, so, you know, it's not hyper realistic and whatever, it's kind of stylized in a way, he feels real within the scene and within that world. Like, you don't really question, you're not there like, oh, that looked a bit rough, like that looks like they're talking to nothing. Like, he's always there and it's always fully believable. And I think, like, obviously most of that is thanks to the performances of not just Matthew Lillard, but he does a really good job because he has most of the scenes with Scooby. You're just like, yeah, they're there.
Yeah.
You know, unless there's any particular bits you thought were a bit rough. Oh, I'll give you a quick. That's going to be this fucking film. It's just film episode. We're just going,
like Scoop. He's got a finger in your ass.
No, do you know what? We do that at work, and I don't know why. Like, one of us, if somebody does an impression of Shaggy, it's immediately just like Scoob, I'm totally shitting my pants. Like, it's something like fucking wild.
Yeah, like Scoob, I'm a fucking cunt.
I knew you'd. I knew you'd do that. No.
I better not.
No, stop. Like, hey, Skip, look,
thank
it's,
you.
It's like the JoJo guy said.
Yeah. He was onto something. I knew he was onto something.
God damn it.
Just, I do have some interesting tidbits.
Okay.
According to Sarah Michelle Gellar, after the cast has signed on, there was a change and the film became more family friendly. Though some of the original adult jokes are still in the film.
Sure.
They also include a deleted scene where Geller had said her character and Linda Cardinelli's character, so Daphne and Velma, shared an on-screen kiss that did not make the final film.
Yeah, Raisa said that to me while I was watching it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, no! No!
go back. Yeah, apparently they took it out because they didn't feel like audiences were like ready for that sort of thing that, or they didn't think they were quite. I think audiences would have fucking loved that shit. But you could, that's the thing, like, there are points where, like, where Velma's talking about all the different members and then says about how, like, Daphne's so beautiful and this sort of stuff. Mm. And then says about Fred being like so handsome and things.
Yeah.
And you're just like, dude, these guys are all getting high and fucking each other. Like, come on.
In 2017, on the 15th anniversary, James Gunn revealed in a Facebook post that there was an R-rated cut of Scooby-Doo. And I knew. And that CGI was used to remove cleavage of the female cast members. I knew it.
But just thinking about, like, how good could the sequel... I mean, to be fair, I didn't notice.
It's probably, like, background characters as well. Like,
I suppose.
I don't know if it was going to be... I don't think it could have been, like, the main cast. Because they're, like,
I think it was weird. In the beginning... the main cast at various points in the film sort of fallen out of themselves a little bit, but and it makes so much sense because It's like the bit once they've been taken over, they all sort of change like their appearance and stuff, right? So
yeah,
Fred.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, I don't remember whether Fred got his hair cut in the time skip or if it was.
No, that's the time skit. His hair change. His hair's the same, but then he's wearing like
A tank top and stuff. Or yeah, something, right? Yeah. And he's kind of shorts. A bit more like again, yeah,
and a bone necklace.
Yeah, and Velma, her hair is different. It's more sort of like it's got more of a curl to it. It's more like the, I don't know if I'd say more the classic look because. The one before is very, but it's not so, it's a bit more open. And then yeah. She's wearing like a very, like a way more revealing, like cleavage kind of shirt. And I think Daphne's largely the same. I can't remember if she.
I don't remember her, yeah.
But it also, what you were saying about the cleavage thing, that could have been, I thought it was super weird because it never came back. But in the beginning, you get like Pamela Anderson show up, like they beat like the ghost at the beginning. She like shows up and then like I can't remember if she does give Fred a kiss or whether they're just a bit like flirty or something.
Yeah,
but I remember that she shows up. She's got like massive fucking honkers. So maybe there was like some removal of that to make it a bit less much. In the beginning and stuff, that could have been part of it.
Yeah, maybe.
It's probably things like that, because I wouldn't have seen many opportunities outside of that, really.
Not that I know of. I mean, and maybe he's just making it.
Time to go and scour a film.
I'm going to watch it again. I've got it rented for another 24 hours.
No, you know what I did? I didn't rent it. I bought it instead, because I was like, man, we're probably going to want to watch this again at some point.
Yeah.
And... I don't want to, if I'm already renting it out, I might as well buy, like, the other ones that we've rented, usually I'm like, no, I'm not going to buy this.
Yeah.
I'm just going to rent it, because I don't want to watch this fucking film again. but yeah, no, I definitely, like, kept this one on. But yeah, I think it is just, there's a lot where you could see it changing certain aspects to become a lot darker. Like, I did think all of the... Like, the whole thing with these creatures, whatever they're called, like, these demon things, it feels kind of sinister. And I feel like there's probably, from when I watched it when I was younger, there's definitely a lot of, like, I'll watch it back and be like, oh, yeah, I remember this. I remember how this kind of used to make me feel. And you kind of, because it's so uncanny and because it's so, like, I mean, they're body snatchers and stuff as well. And they're, like... These big gangly creatures that can just like pick somebody up by the leg and drag them off like they weigh nothing. And it's like creepy and unnerving and it's kind of scary, you know?
Yeah, I'd love to see like the, like...
I wish they'd release the
R-rated cut. Like, obviously, who's that for then? Like, I know it's... Like
me,
like you know that they do it just to make money. And I see why they would, like, but from a completely just, I just want to see it. Give Taylor to me and only for me. I would have loved to have seen like the fully James Gunned version of this, where it's just like gory and they're swearing. I mean, they threw a couple swear words in there. What did? So, I mean, do we want to go through the story? I don't have loads of notes. I just have,
it's
random little tidbits.
Yeah, I suppose the good thing about this is it's very much like a Scooby episode, because it is, aside from the fact that, you know, they solve a mystery in the beginning and they do the whole, like, it's Old Man Smithers, the caretaker. He was the real villain, and he's like, I would have gotten away with it too, and whatever. They do that whole thing. And
he's
it
like,
feels
you
like,
fucking cunts.
Yeah. You fucking son of a bitch. And that was in the R-rated cut.
Yeah.
They do all that, and it kind of feels like the end of a Scooby-Doo episode.
Yeah, it does.
And they round it all off. And then suddenly you have the reality thing where they all argue because Fred's being a... It was weird that they put that in the description that, like, oh, all because of Fred. They all split up and whatever. And yes, Fred was definitely like, the stuff he was saying was definitely an issue, but there's just like a, there's a wider like kind of, the group is a bit dysfunctional, apart from Shang and Scooby, who are just like chill.
They're just, well, they're high.
Everybody has their issue. I mean, it's mainly just like Velma is underappreciated and Daphne is just very insecure. And so she's always just like, you know, Velma says she's going to quit. So Daphne's like, that's not fair. I was going to quit, but then everyone's just going to think that I'm copying the smart girl and whatever. Yeah, like she's stuck in school. And because they're, I mean, they're supposed to be youngish, I guess.
I guess so. That, which leads me on to a discussion point. How old is Scooby and why is he not dead yet?
But look, if he's a talking dog, he's probably got
That's
some years on
him.
That's
what I'm saying. Which leads me on to another point I had, which was like, so this show is, it's never, well, not that I remember of. I don't know if it turns into this later, but there's never really any ghosts or any magic going on. So, like, and there must not be, because Fred keeps saying, there's no such thing as ghosts. We've never seen them. So
it's always fake.
But then there's a fucking talking dog. There's two of them, because Scrappy makes an appearance.
Scrappy do.
But no one seems, like, fucking bothered. They're famous by this point. Aiden, like, you people see, fucking love them.
This occurs within the Alvin and the Chipmunks universe, where where animals can speak.
I see.
Yeah.
Well, so I mean, from Alvin and the Chipmunks is the only one that's like, what? Talking chipmunks? What? Yeah. And everyone's like, yeah.
Yeah, man, it's pretty normal.
It's pretty normal. Those ones can sing. Now, that's impressive. But most animals can talk.
The thing is, though, the whole joke with, or the sort of an implied interpretation you can get generally from Scooby-Doo is that the gang are all just so high that they think their dog talks all the time. Like, that's kind of like a
fan theory.
It's a fan theory. It's one of those things you can just accept it if you want or not. Because, I mean, they're literally just a bunch of hippies that go around in the Mystery Machine. They're definitely high all the time. Like, you know, it's a whole thing. Which is why, like you said, you have the references. You have Mary Jane, who Shaggy meets, and he's like, that's like my favorite name.
Yeah.
And you have, after the time, like, you have a time skip where they all go their separate ways. And, you know, Shag and Scooby keep the mystery van. Because is it, I'm pretty sure it's like canon, right? That Shaggy is just like a fucking millionaire or something. Like he's got like, he inherited like, I can't remember if it was in a show or a animated movie or something. But I'm pretty sure that the idea is that Shaggy is like super rich.
I don't,
and that's how they can afford to like the mystery van or whatever. Is it Scooby-Doo? Is Shaggy rich? I'm pretty sure. Even Scooby-Doo comes from a rich dog family, and Shaggy received some big plantation as an inheritance. Only Velma is middle class, but she worked for her parents in a museum. So I guess they're all just rich.
Is that, where are they getting that from? They're just making that up.
No, this is like, the actual info of, if I go on like the Scoobypedia, it's on there as well. I think the first episode of the show. Yeah, because it's, I think the premise of, because there was Scooby-Doo Gets a Clue, which was like a, no, sorry, Shaggy and Scooby-Doo Get a Clue, which was one of the shows that like came out, 101 episodes of this. And it's to do with, like, Shaggy's uncle disappears and leaves him all of his money and his mansion and stuff. And they're, like, trying to figure out what happened to him and all this kind of stuff. But they come from, like, rich families, I'm pretty sure.
Look at the clothes that Fred's wearing. He's fucking up.
Yeah, exactly. Class. He's got a fucking ascot. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Right? But, yeah, they're all like, minted. But they kind of reference the fact that they're always high and all this shit because you get like, you see the Mystery Machine, you see this smoke that's kind of
Yeah, for a second I was like, oh my god, are they just hotboxing
this? Yeah, they're just fucking hotboxing this thing. You see the smoke, and as it's panning down, he's like, yeah, Scoob, this is the good stuff, or whatever. And they're kind of talking about it, and you're like, is this what I think it is? And then they're just like, they've got a little fucking cooker in the back, and they're getting some, like, all I can't remember if he said it was, yeah, it was like some sort of interesting, different kind of burger. It wasn't like a regular burger.
Yeah, because I think they're meant to be vegan. I don't know if that's canon or if that's just something they decided. But
probably not. They have vegan. Whenever you see them sandwiches, they always have like the cheese and ham like slices. You know, whenever they do the sandwiches. Oh, the dinner bell, Aiden. Why don't you tell me what is cooking this week?
Chicken, berry, bake.
Huh? Chicken berries?
Chicken, peri, peri, chicken.
Oh, chicken, peri, I thought you said chicken, berry, bake.
I said like, chicken, peri, bake, but yeah, close enough. Chicken and strawberries.
Nice. yeah. But yeah, so they do some adult jokes and things like that.
Yeah, I mean...
they do have a lot of cleavage still. I don't care how much they took out. There's a lot of cleavage in this.
My favorite line is, it's a flashback where they're saying how, like, oh, Scrappy-Doo? Yeah, remember that guy? He was a bit of a twat. So we just fucking abandoned him in a desert.
Yeah, on the side of the road.
Okay. But Scrappy-Doo, he's like, I'm in charge, I'm the greatest. And then Fred's like, nah, fuck you, Scrappy-Doo. And then Scrappy-Doo goes, you don't have the scroat for this job, Pally. And I was like, did he just say scroat? I rewinded it and turned on subtitles just so I could be sure that he said the word scroat. And amazing. I was like, what the fuck does that mean? You don't have the scrotum for this job. Scrappy-Doo's wildin'.
Damn, Scrappy got that scroat. He got that Scrappy scroat.
Scrappy, Scrappy scroat.
Oh man, yeah. There's stuff that I remembered about Scroty this film from dude. When I was Scroty dude. From when I was younger, like Scrappy, because it's the stuff you remember as a kid, right? Where I'm like, haha, I remember that bit where Scrappy-Doo peed on Daphne, so then they kicked him out of the mystery van. I remember the bit when Daphne and Fred swapped bodies, and then
Fred assaults Daphne in the strangest way possible.
And then Fred goes, I'm gonna go look at myself naked.
Yeah.
It's like, it's that line I remembered. But again, I think because it's like, you don't get, I think, because there's never like that slightly malicious undertone to stuff. So, you know, yes, you'll be like, oh, where he's just, you know,
fully taking advantage.
He's like fully taking advantage of her body while she's not in it.
Yeah.
And all this kind of stuff.
But it doesn't,
it's just like, he's a guy and he's just like, wait a minute, I can look at myself naked. And you're like, ha, 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 that's funny because he's done the thing.
Boo-boo.
And then they swap bodies. But you know what I mean? Like a fucking film these days would be like, or some of the films that we've looked at would be like, he's doing that. And then you actually get a scene where she's like, no, stop. And he's like, hey, 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 and he's like trying to peek down his titties or whatever. And it just kind of, you know, they go a bit too like weird with it. Whereas, yeah, it's just like, they're just like, ha, isn't that a funny joke? All right, guys, let's move on to the next bit. Come on, kids. And you're like, ah, this is Scooby-Doo.
Ruby, Ruby, Ruby.
Like, there's one bit where, like, again, with these adult jokes, they're saying about when Scooby and Shaggy get invited to go to the island, like all of them do, the guy that comes up to him says, oh, you're invited to Spooky Island. And then Shaggy's like, hold up. We don't do anything that has the name Spooky, this, that, or the other in it, blah, blah, blah. And then Scooby goes, or hydrocolonic? I think it's
hydrochlonic,
pronounced. Hydrochlonic. And I was like, I have to look it up. I know it's going to be something weird. And it's just you getting basically like an enema, just getting your ass like flushed out. It's like a treatment where you just get your ass flushed out. And I was like, hot. Brilliant.
Yeah, because he says, or he's like, ironic. And then, he's like, or hydroclonic, but that's for a different reason.
Yeah, that's a different.
Good.
But I think the bad guys in this were fun. I think any issue you could maybe have with this about it not being like classic Scooby villains is solved in the next movie.
I don't really remember. I know that Seth Green's in it.
I don't remember much.
Yeah, I don't really.
But I know that it's like they put a lot. They have a lot of like classic villains that. Because I think the idea is it's villains they've encountered before. I can't remember. But they have lots of these villains that... And they're all sorts of ones that you would have seen in different episodes and things before.
Right.
Whereas this is, it's kind of an all-new thing as far as I can remember. And it's like, oh, they're all kind of demonic. It's some sort of demonic cult and they're summoning these, like... These horrible these horrible demon creatures that are like body snatchers and stuff, and they're all freaky looking and stuff. But you still have, the classics kind of Scooby Doo. The monster goes to grab Scooby, and Scooby's like, "Hold up!" And they stop, and they're like, "Huh?" And then he's like giving them like a fucking manicure, but he just bites all their fingernails off, all their claws, and they're like, "Ah!" And then they start chasing him again, and. Just lots of silly, funny stuff, and you just feel like, man, I miss Scooby-Doo. This is good. I want to go and watch some Scooby-Doo.
It's a good time. It's just a silly film.
And there's a bit where Velma maybe gets spiked. I didn't know if it was just that her drink was really strong or...
Oh, yeah.
Because she's researching.
Or that it was a time jump and they'd just been drinking lots or something. I don't know.
Because... She's there researching, and then the guy comes up to talk to her about stuff. And then the bartender, which is weird, because I guess it's like a holiday island, right? So she's like, oh, I don't think they're in a library, actually. I was imagining there was one, but I don't think they are. But no, she's trying to like, she's at the bar, and she's trying to like look at the symbols on this artifact thing they've got. He sits down next to her, and then... The guy at the bar that we don't see, we just see his hands as he puts the stuff down. He puts down two drinks and says it's on, and says like, oh, on the house, like it's on the house. So I was like, okay, well, we know at this point that loads of people have been taken over, probably most of the island.
Yeah.
So they probably put something in that drink. And when she immediately just goes for the straw, she like takes a sip and then kind of makes a face to be like, oh, like she wasn't expecting it. So either it was just really strong, because as soon as she starts telling a story, she then just goes a bit nuts. Or it was, like, spiked, but then... It's one of those things where I'm like, could that have been something that was, like, cut, and then they just had her, like, being a bit silly? Because she doesn't get, like, super drunk after that.
No, she's just... I think maybe
although I guess she gets just body a snatched. Silly thing.
Yeah, I... Oh, my fucking chair. I don't know. I think it was meant to be just a silly thing.
Yeah. Because I was like, oh, they're trying to, like, capture the Scooby gang one by one. So they've, like, put, like, sedatives in a drink or something. But I think she just maybe just got drunk because she was just suddenly super, like, telling the story. And then she's, like, leaning all over him and being like, woo! And I was like, but again, it could be, like, Velma doesn't drink. So she suddenly gets... hit by the strong fucking island punch that they've made.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe she's like, she's so used to weed that, like, or maybe she was already so fucking high.
Oh, she's mixing.
That alcohol just tipped her over the edge and she was absolutely wasted. That's probably it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have lots to say. One thing we've got to talk about is the fucking plane bit,
right? Because not a fucking chance getting that dog on the plane. No fucking way.
But it's so Scooby-Doo, right?
It's so Scooby-Doo. They just dress up Scooby-Doo in the worst... It's like a nightie and a hat. It's so shit.
And they're like, this is my grandma. And they're like, cool, she can come on board. Don't need ID.
But then it did make me question. I was like, are they just like all just fucked off their face? And like, they're like, oh, they wouldn't let Scoob on the plane. So I had to dress him up as my grandma. And then, because they just fucking... Everyone is looking at them. Like, Scooby is just stumbling about because he's trying to walk on two legs and can't.
Yeah.
And Scooby-Doo is a world-famous dog by this point. Everyone knows who they are. True. So they're just like, oh, look, it's Fred, Velma, Daphne, and Shaggy. Just like... Going,
and their grandma.
and their grandma? Oh no, it's a dog that they've put in a nightie in a hat.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if they were... He was like, the dog's not allowed on the plane, so we'll just dress him up as the grandma. I wonder if they were just like, the dogs are allowed on the plane. I don't know why he's dressed up Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
Like, just fucking...
Or the like the people at the desk and the flight attendants and everybody like in that process, they're like... Oh, it's Scooby-Doo. It's the mystery gang. They're probably up on some caper. Go on, just let... Look at him. He's dressed in a... Oh, go on, let him through. Go on.
But what backs up my theory of them just being fucked off their nut is later on, you see that there's a woman with a cat sat on her lap on the plane. Mm. So I was like, oh, well, so they let the cat on board. No trouble.
Yeah.
Just Scooby-Doo. And then, like, Scooby just fucking causes a plane disaster because he goes to, like, attack the cat. And then you see the plane start to nosedive and shit.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just thought that there's no fucking way. Not on any level are they getting that dog on the plane. He's such a famous dog. Yeah. He's so famous.
But I love the... You know, the thing that happened, like, kind of recently, where the woman had, like, the freak out on the plane, and she was like, that man over there is not real. Yeah. I'm telling you. And I've seen that, and then it cuts to, like, Scooby and sat in the thing, and just being like, ooh.
So stupid.
Oh, man, it's so funny. A really important note as well that Raisa pointed out, and I was like, I'm stealing that and I'm putting it in my notes.
You shouldn't have said that Raisa said it.
No, I have to give credit where it's due. But Fred is the original Ken.
Yeah! Yes!
He is literally Ken. He is just this, like, himbo who just has no idea. Like, he's just so oblivious to stuff. And... Like, they have so many times where somebody says, like, I can't remember the exact setups, but they'll say something like, oh, even an idiot wouldn't fall for that. And then it's like Scooby, with Scooby in their costume. They literally say, there's no way, like that nobody is dumb enough to fall for that. And then Fred's like, who's the grandma? And then somebody mentions something about, like, they're like brainless dead or something about the undead.
And then
it cuts to Fred and all this kind of stuff. So they're always like taking the mick out of him just being like this real himbo kind of like, he loves himself. Like first thing he does in, where is it? It's literally in the first bit when they're fighting this like ghost guy who's got Daphne. And she's like, Fred, help, Fred, oh my God, he's got me. And Fred's like checking himself out in the mirror and he's like, hey, yeah, all right, before he goes, you know. He is Ken.
He is Ken. And yeah. Freddie Prinze Jr. kind of looks like Ryan Gosling.
Yeah.
Like, especially in this film with the short hair and the blonde. I was like, hey.
I'm pretty sure that it was this film... that Freddie Prinze Jr. and Sarah Michelle Gellar actually met the first time because they're like married and have kids and shit.
I didn't know if it was this.
And he's like a chef or something.
Yeah, he just doesn't act. Yeah, he doesn't act. He gave it up. Because they had kids and he was like, all right, I'll do family stuff now. Good on him.
And she, like, they have some really good choreography in this, like, really fun. And again, that makes so much sense because it's James Gunn. Like, the choreography when, like, Daphne's fighting this kind of mucha libre kind of wrestler guy, it's so cool. Like, they do loads of, like, really interesting. It's not just like, punch you, and then she goes, hi-ya, or something stupid. Like, they're doing crazy fucking shit off the ropes and flipping and doing all sorts of cool stuff.
Yeah, the choreography. And I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
It's just all good. It's just good stuff.
It is.
It's just good stuff.
And Scrappy Dude being. Scrappy Dude being the kind of big villain at the end in a robot Rowan Atkinson.
Kind of suit.
Like, how would you even think that would be? That's so good. And then he just transforms into this massive, like. I do think, like, with the uncanny nature of it, and kind of the way the CG is and the actual threat that, like, the gang are facing, it's quite scary. Like, for, like, back when I was a kid and, like, reliving some of that weird uncanniness of how kind of unsettling the goofy looking demon things were, and then Scrappy becoming this huge, massive monster and trying to, like, steal Scooby's soul. When you think about it, you're like, fuck, man, that's, like, weird. That's, like, dark. It is, like, dark cultist shit, you know?
Yeah. I remember being scared of the monsters, because I remember, like, running across my landing when it was time to brush my teeth at night
so that they wouldn't come and get you.
Turning on the lights and stuff, be like
good shit,
good stuff. But yeah, bad film, good,
bad film, fucking great. Bad film, just probably one of my favorites that we've done loads, and I've had a lot of favorites, but this is definitely, like, on the top end of the list of the films we've looked at.
Yeah, it's I don't know.
I don't think there's...
Ruby,
he said it again.
Like Scoob.
I'm totally hard right now.
Like Scoob, I'm fucking coming. Ruby.
But yeah, I just think that there's so little wrong with this movie. Like, I can't think of anything to point out and be like, oh, that was a bit rubbish, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I liked it all. I think it can be a bit cheesy. If you're the wrong type of person to be watching this, you'd be like, oh, this is just cheesy.
Yeah,
but I think the nostalgia plays a heavy part, but I just love all of this.
Yeah, I think it maybe one thing, and I don't know if they do it in the next one, could be that they didn't do the whole thing where they're like, they're running away from the monster, and then you have the corridor, and they do the Scooby-Doo thing where they go back and forth and whatever. I don't know whether Scooby-Doo were the first ones to do it or not.
I think so.
Which I would hope so.
It's famous for that. For that style of joke. Yeah.
Like, because so many things have done it after that. Like, it became such a widely used, like, joke for stuff. And you don't even think, you're like, oh yeah, that was Scooby-Doo.
That's Scooby-Doo, yeah. I don't know, it must be. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Cool. you wanna... Oh no, Aiden's swinging round and he gets closer to the mic every now and then. Or is it a fly? I don't really know. Let's move on to the next one.
Yeah. that's about everything that we got for this week. Next week, we're doing, of course, we're doing Scooby-Doo 2, baby, as we already mentioned. Or is it called something else? Scooby-Doo 2, Monsters Unleashed.
I literally wanted to watch it as soon as this film was finished. I want to watch the second one.
You can watch it twice. Or you can watch it now, make notes, and then just save your notes.
Yeah,
Up to you.
We'll see.
But yeah, if you want to help out this show, give us a 5-star review, tell a friend. If you want to keep up to date with our little memes and stuff, we're on X and Twitter and on TikTok. What are we on?
So we're on TikTok and we are on Instagram. Those things only, nothing else.
And
nothing
threads.
More, nothing less. No and threads, no nothing.
What about MySpace?
Yeah, we could look into that.
That's MSN?
Yeah. Our top 8 films or whatever. Fucking, I don't know, MSN.
But as always, we'll leave you with AI Wars, baby.
Yeah,
and I did it right this time.
Oh.
So this is where we look at a random image from this is where, fuck it, it's AI Wars. If you don't know, then fuck you. it's currently Inspirobot 14, ImageFlip 13.
Yeah.
That's right. I think you went first last week.
I did, yes.
Yeah. Okay, so this is... Let me just get the... what they call the meme. It's the girl, like, turning to the camera with the house on fire.
Oh, yeah. Watching it with it burning in the background.
Disaster girl is what they call it. Yeah. With it burning in the background. She's looking devious, and this text just says, "Come in the bathroom."
Stupid! You said this to me.
Yeah.
Oh fuck! Come in the bathroom. Oh gross! No.
Me when I come in the bathroom.
Jesus!
What you got for me?
All right, so I've got a nice kind of city skyline view, and there is a man who. He clearly works out. He's jacked up. He's standing with like a powerful kind of strong wide stance on the top of like the building that this photo has been taken from. He stood up on the like thing next to the railings as well. And he's looking out across the city like he's either ready to fight someone or he's just surveying everything, you know. But it kind of has that feeling like, oh yeah, he's a man or whatever. You got a little moon in the background as well. And it says, "Blessed is he that breaketh his animal man, for no respectable person yet scratched his own sack, and also regretted and cherished it."
God. Fucking damn it.
Yes, dude, I was like, what we were talking earlier, and I was like randomizing, I was like, oh, man, he's a shit. And it was one of those things where whatever we were talking about distracted me, and I wasn't looking at what they said. I came back to it, and my eyes zeroed in on scratched his own sack, and I was like, bro, what is this?
Oh, brilliant. Yeah,
so good.
All right.
How many points is that?
It's now 15 points to Inspirobot. 13 points to Image Flip. But I'm confident that I
can... You fucking send me the Arnold baby. Oh, no.
Aiden's I'm trying to find a picture of...
The image from Junior, which we did a couple of weeks back. But it's the image of... In Arnold's dream sequence, where he looks at the baby that he's birthed, and it's like a freakish kind of... doll-looking version of his own face. That was the weirdest fucking moment in that film. Oh, my God. That's actually, like, a horror film. That's terrifying.
Yeah, it's fucking horrid. I was trying to find the one where he sucks that baby's foot.
It's got a fucking watermark on it. 1994 Universal Studios. You want that watermark.
They're like, this is ours, you can have it.
Yeah.
But yeah, as we always do now, we'll leave you with the outro song that I recorded last week.
Oh,
goodbye,
no.
Everyone.
Oh, I forgot. Goodbye. I forgot what it was.
Thanks for listening. We'll be here next week with Scooby-Doo.
Christ, it's just cutting out on Discord for me.
Scooby-Doo next week on Bad Feel Good. Thanks for listening.
Bone Stripper.